Christmas has come and gone, and here we are. Two cold, depressing months ahead of us, followed by two more cold, depressing months. Hey, Mac!
Hey, Goo!
Want to try out this new segment I just stole from the idea master, Ryan Davey?
Sure.
Behold my stuff.
It's called Behold My Stuff. Mac, what'd you get for Christmas?
Well, as you can see, you know, directly behind me here.
Yeah.
I'm fucking around with some green screen tech. My mom's asked me what I wanted, and for some reason at 31 years old, she still wants to give me gifts. I said, please don't, but she did. So she got me the green screen you see behind me here, which is pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Elgato one, and it literally, it's in like a tube, and it's in a big tube. The tube pops open, and the green screen pulls up like that, and then it just stays. It's awesome. And then when it's away, you can literally use two fingers to push it down, close it back into the tube, slide it under my bed.
You going to ask me what I got? You going to ask me to behold my stuff?
Goo. What'd you get?
Well, Mac, this year was the year of the cookbook for Goo. I got not one, but two cookbooks.
So does this mean you can't cook and people are giving you a hint, or you're a good cooker and they want you to cook more recipes?
I want you to tell me, because I don't know.
I don't think you're a good cook.
Probably not. But I did get one of them, which was a Ninja Turtles cookbook, which is just a bunch of different pizzas to make. It also came in that dope box that's behind me over here.
Behold my stuff.
Ooh. You uploaded a photog of that cookbook and some sort of pickle pizza.
Yep, pickle
pizza. Delicious.
It does, and right? Pickle pizza's great.
Love pickles.
I also got a hot dog cookbook.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So just different ways to make hot dogs.
I'm a little less inspired by that.
Well, the pizza one's good, though.
Yeah.
And that was...
Behold my stuff.
One goo, three, yeah!
Mac and Goo.
Jaws 3.
Mac and Goo.
King of Queens.
Mac and Goo.
Meryl Streep.
Mac Goo.
Entertainment.
I am Goo.
And I am Mac.
And we're
am sitting here.
Yeah, what's up?
Happy to say we've got a brand new Christmas classic on our hands.
Soul?
Goo, yeah. I cut you off there. Go ahead, finish.
So we are the Mac and Goo program. We bring you friendship, usually. Today, just pure hatred. Pure and utter hatred.
It's not a lot of hatred out of me today. And I'm a little confused as to why there is a ton of hatred, because I was pretty sure we all thought this movie wasn't going to be great. And so maybe there were people that did think it was going to be great.
I talked myself into it being good because... Or, you know, thinking that it would be good because we had such a build up over time and this was going to be the first movie that we got in a really long time. I really liked the first two acts of the first movie and I thought, well, Patty Jenkins didn't like the end of that movie. Maybe she'll do something different here and we'll get a full movie that we like. And what we got was a disjointed mess.
Yeah, I was excited to watch the movie for none other than I was just excited to watch a new movie, you know, a theater quality movie. I didn't have any grand expectations for it. Now, I hoped it was going to be good. But the minute I saw Steve Trevor was going to be back in the mix, I was like, I don't think I like that. The minute I realized Maxwell Lord is some sort of wishmaster, I was like, that's not
great.
Well,
call him by his proper title. He's a genie.
Yeah. So going into this, the bar was pretty low for me. And so maybe that's why I don't hate it as much as everyone else. I didn't like it by any means.
Even if the bar is low, this is 2.5 hours of nothing.
Yeah, but are people aware of what the DC movies have been? Like,
they were on an upward trajectory, though. Kind of.
Oh, no, they weren't.
A little bit.
Two of the last three were Aquaman and Birds of Prey.
Yeah, those are fine.
I mean, yeah.
Fine is better than garbage. Upward trajectory.
I mean, I think this is a lot like Aquaman. So... I think if you liked Aquaman, then
I think
chance
Aquaman
you're like this.
Had more fun and more charisma, if that makes any sense. This movie had
no.
This movie had no charisma and no chemistry with anything.
Yeah, that is also Aquaman. That is also BVS.
But did you see Amber Heard?
I don't know what people are expecting. And I guess if you had a high expectation, you've been hoodwinked because this movie's not good.
I haven't heard the word hoodwinked in a long time. Outside of the movie, of course. Hoodwinked.
Let's get into the nuts and bolts here, Goo.
I got screwed.
Wonder Woman 1984 is a rated PG-13 action and action adventure and fantasy with a runtime of 151 minutes. That is 2 hours and 31 minutes. That is a long movie. Really long movie, especially for a story that takes all sorts of twists and turns when it doesn't need to. Goo, on Rotten Tomatoes, this is at 65% from the critics, 73% from the audience. Both of those seem a little high, don't they?
Yes.
Those are basically the exact same scores as Aquaman, and I thought they seemed a little high for Aquaman as well.
I think Aquaman Metacritic is a perfect 60%. It's a D-. It's a DC-.
Same thing here. Metacritic has this as a 59.
Is that good or bad?
It's not great. Oh, okay. It's not great. It's not horrific. For reference, the first movie had a 76 on Metacritic and was 93%, 88%. So, obviously, the first movie, a lot of people would say it's the best DC movie. To me, it's the second best one. The first movie was so much more coherent. Mm-hmm. You could tell that there was a clear direction there. They weren't trying to do a ton. And the first movie is borderline great. I don't think it's one of the greatest comic book movies of all time, but it's a really, really good movie.
It's a cohesive story set during a time, and it at least has a common look to it throughout the entire movie. It has that World War I 1910s look to it. This is kind of all over the place.
Yeah, and to that point, this movie has three writing credits, Goo. Patty Jenkins, who has only written a couple movies before. Jeff Johns, who does a ton of DC stuff, a lot of the
he's like the
DC
Feige
TV
of,
stuff.
Yeah, he's like the Feige like of DC.
And the third writer is Dave Callahan, who did the Expendables movies.
More like Calla Steamed Hams.
That was a terrible joke.
Got him.
But you can tell this movie has three writers, you know? There's a lack of direction. And I think ultimately we're going to have to blame Patty Jenkins for what we got here.
I'm going to tell you what
here. And this and she's supposed to be the one with the clear vision.
This is a note that is in my hot dog score, but this is a 2.5 hour movie. This could have been cut down to a 42 minute CW show.
Yeah, there's a lot of nonsense. There's a lot of nonsense. It's very predictable. It's just,
look,
it's,
guys,
it was,
guys, just,
it was,
just tell the truth.
It's lazy.
Just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. That's all it is.
Good synopsis. Here's a real good synopsis for you. Rewind to the 1980s as Wonder Woman's next big screen adventure finds her facing two all-new foes, Max Lord and the Cheetah. It sounds like a tease for a Saturday morning cartoon, right?
Yeah. Yep. And I think you could have split it into two decent Saturday morning cartoons.
I think the story here centered around Cheetah was pretty good.
No.
I think if they went that route, the whole movie, I would have liked the movie.
I couldn't buy Kristen
Wiig
in
this. The Maxwell Lord stuff and the Wishing Rock, not very good.
I don't think either were very good, if we're going to be honest.
All right. Well, I'm a fan of the Cheetah one.
If the lasso of truth is around my wrist right now.
Oh, lasso of truth to your balls.
Yep.
Lasso of truth to your head.
I don't think either worked, but that's just me.
Okay, I was cool with the Cheetah stuff, and I actually thought Kristen Wiig was pretty good.
You like that gym scene when she was lifting stuff?
It's really hard to rate the acting in this movie because I thought the writing was terrible.
Yeah.
I thought a lot of the lines were horrible, and I don't think the actors and actresses could have changed any of that.
Yeah, that's why. Movie, so moving forward, guys, when we're, you know, making fun of a character, everything that goes into the character, not just the acting, but how it's written and then everything else.
This movie stars Gal Gadot as Diana Prince, a.k.a. Wonder Woman. Chris Pine as Steve Trevor. Kristen Wiig as Barbara Minerva, a.k.a.
So,
the Cheetah.
Two things with that name. Number one, it sounds like Normal from Garfield, which made me laugh. And then also, she played a character on The Flight of the Conchords where they couldn't figure out if her name was Barbara or Brabra. And it turned out that her name was Brabra.
Brabra.
B-R-A-H. B-R-A-H.
Bruh.
We also got Pedro Pascal as Maxwell Lord in a really confusing performance.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
And then in the beginning, we have essentially cameos from Robin Wright as Antiope. And is that how you say it? Antiope? I don't
know.
Sure. Connie Nielsen as Hippolyta. And young Pichardo? Diana was played by...
Is that Hippolyta Pichardo?
Yeah, Hippolyta Pichardo. Young Diana was played by Lily Aspel. that first opening scene,
which was 11 minutes
it was so long.
Are you kidding me?
It's a perfect tease for what's to come, because you're like, they're not really doing much here, and this is really long, which is essentially what the movie was. Goo, I asked the people, the good folks of Twitter, to simply Rotten Tomatoes this. Thumbs up or thumbs down. Mm-hmm. I got like 15 responses. Not a single thumbs up. Not one. Not one. And so I think this is playing into people had rather high expectations for the movie.
Mac,
and if that's the
case,
I totally understand the hate for it.
This is the first movie
I didn't have that expectation.
Time where I said to myself, I wasted 2.5 hours. I generally don't say that. I'll be like, okay, well, I got something from it. There is nothing in this movie that I want to rewatch, or even a scene that I want to rewatch.
What you're saying right now is the way I felt about Aquaman, and I think that's 100%
permission
fine.
To come aboard.
It's a ludicrous movie with a lot of dumb shit.
Redheads, am I right?
But if you,
that's so
but
quotable.
If you liked, but if you liked, what's his face?
Momoa
as Aquaman, you might like that movie. And to me, I love Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
In the first
one. There were parts of this movie that I enjoyed watching. Her slipping around with the lasso, gliding on air. I think that shit's cool. We didn't get enough of that. We got actually almost none of it for a good portion of the film. And then I also think the special effects and CGI in this movie
were
some of the worst we've seen in a while.
It's very off. Off-putting, too. And Dan Silva makes a good point here. An hour and a half into the movie, and the only Wonder Woman stuff that we had was the scene in the mall.
And that Wonder Woman scene in the mall was kind of dumb, but super campy. So if you're going to go that route, you got to stick to that route. Sort
also,
of what Aquaman did.
So she winks at that little girl. She winked with the wrong eye. So she looked at her, right? So like right here, this eye is facing you. You wink with this eye. She winked with this eye. I don't even know if
maybe
if
she
the
can only
girl
wink with
it.
Her right eye. Maybe she can't wink with her left eye. We don't know if she has that ability.
She's a Wonder Woman. She can wink with either eye. She just chose the wrong eye.
Hey, going back to the first movie, which was set during World War One.
World War One was so hot then.
It was easy to do like the fish out of water thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's World War One. You've got a woman that has never even experienced the rest of
nothing.
The world.
Nothing. She hasn't experienced any of the world. But in this movie, Steve Trevor at least has some kind of a background knowledge to what the world is. And now it's just like an updated of him walking around going, wow. Wow. They should have recasted Owen Wilson to play him.
Well, yeah. Wow. We jump pretty much 70 years here, and a lot has changed. So there's fish out of water capabilities there, but we don't need a ton of it. And they were... I just didn't enjoy that part of it.
No.
And I also didn't think they had great chemistry in
you
this movie.
You didn't like when he tried on all
did
those
in the
outfits?
First movie.
He tried on outfits.
Oh, fanny packs. Oh, cool. 1984. Cool. And now that we've jumped 70 years, this goes back into what Patty Jenkins said. I don't remember if it was this year, last year, whenever. But when talking about the Wonder Woman story arc in the character, she said that the story had been mapped out to play out over 3 films, with the third and final Wonder Woman film playing out in present day. And so clearly there's going to be another jump for the next one. But with that in mind, like everything that happens in this movie, Wonder Woman ability wise and on the planet, makes the other movies she's been in a lot worse, right? It's sort of Last Jedi level and Aquaman level, where now that she's displayed something in this movie, the other movies don't make sense.
You mean the other movies outside of her first movie? You mean like Justice League and Batman vs. Superman? Because...
Yep.
We'll spoil things later on, but she does something in here.
And I think someone might say, well, they came out, now they're kind of doing one-offs, this, that, and the other thing. Which I would say, yeah, you're right, until the fact that we're getting a fucking brand new Justice League. So that's not true anymore. Mm-hmm. So they're still trying to build this DC universe, but they're all over the place because they have 17 different visions of what each character is supposed to be. So her appearance in Batman vs. Superman is now significantly worse because she can fly, right? She can fly.
That is a spoiler, Mac.
No, it's not a
spoiler. Oh, how dare you? Oh, you ruined this movie.
And then in Justice League, she like falls and the Flash catches her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't make sense because she can fly.
Shut up.
So those
you
other
ruined
movies
it.
Are way worse now because of her appearance in this movie. So it's just, they don't even realize they're pulling themselves down from within. And it's just, it's so dumb. It's so dumb.
But this movie in general, outside of the entire timeline, is just dumb. Everything about it, everything in it, nothing is good.
Yeah, but I again, this goes back to what did people expect? A 70-year time
jump. I expected a coherent
story.
Just from
the teases of the movie, you knew they were going to go super 80s with it. And I'm like, all right, like, we don't need this. This movie's not going to be that good. But you drafted it in our movie draft. You said, hey, this was going to be the movie of the year.
Because it would make money. Plus, there's not a lot of great tentpole movies from this past year. Or at least that were supposed to come out.
Man.
Mac, you want to get into the Octagon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Okay, sure, Mac, first one up is Fun Factor, and not a ton. I do appreciate that the action scenes were at least shot in the light, but that also exposed the wonky CGI, so maybe they should have stuck to being in the dark.
I had fun in that opening mall scene.
Nah.
I had some fun in that chase in Egypt. Mm. And outside of that, not a lot of fun here.
No, and the fish out of water story wasn't fun in this. It wasn't funny either.
No.
Wow.
And Steve Trevor being able to fly a plane in 1984 when he was trying to fly planes
I don't
in
get
like
it.
1912.
I don't get
sense.
It. So you're more of an expert on this than I am because you work at
am
a library.
I?
But if you make a jet invisible, won't radar still pick up on it?
Yeah, so the radar is pinging off the side of the plane. So unless, you know, there are stealth planes that the way they mold the shape of the plane is undetectable by radar. But making a plane that is visible by radar, just invisible on the outside, will still make it visible by radar.
Right. And it kind of goes against what he just said. He's like, oh, I can make this plane disappear by flying it a certain way. And then she's like, no, I'll make it invisible. But they both wanted to do the same thing.
They could have done it this effect much better if where they were going or where they were approaching was like, oh, we're getting a beep on the radar, but we don't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you use that, not
as opposed
when it takes off.
To the reaction of, did that plane just disappear?
What?
Did that just disappear? Satisfactor, and I got zero. Zero satisfactory from this.
I got some satisfactory at the beginning when she's like kind of full Wonder Woman and she's, you know, she's not learning to be Wonder Woman anymore. She just is Wonder Woman. So I was like, oh, we're going to get a lot of this. So I was like, we're heading down the right path. And then there was a gate on that path that was locked and I couldn't get through.
They said, choose your own adventure. And they chose the wrong one.
Yeah. And we all died.
They accomplished nothing in 2.5 hours. Nothing. Boreometer, and I would say almost the entire movie, I was very bored. I checked the time on it 7 or 8 times. I was like, is this thing almost over? And the answer every time was, no, there's 2 hours more.
Yeah, this movie was pretty boring. I found myself looking at my phone quite a bit.
Like, this felt like it was over 4 hours long.
It felt long. It did.
It
really did.
So long. Mac, this next segment is brought to you by Stanzo Brand Fedoras.
It needs to be quality on my end, otherwise no fucking deal.
No fucking deal.
Mac, who do you tip your cap to in this movie?
I mean, there's really...
No there's one.
The only
Nothing.
Person I can tip my cap to is Godot. I still like her as like the stoic Wonder Woman, Superman-like, you know, hero. And I think she's really good at that. But there's so little of that in this movie that... The movie can't stand on just that alone.
Also, just the whole wish thing, and I'm fine with them doing wishes, but there's no repercussions to any of the wishes because of what you can do with them.
Well, yeah. I mean, the idea there, right, is you learn a lesson from your wish.
But you can't.
You gotta deal with the consequences.
But you don't have to.
When you can undo your wish and there are no consequences,
yes.
I guess you'd have to deal with people remembering, but...
So you say that,
it's
but
dumb. It undermines the whole idea of the wish in the first place.
So it also undermines the timeline of any of these movies if there is any continuity to them, because there is no point in, say, Justice League or Batman vs. Superman where they're like, oh, remember the great wish war of 84?
Well, moreover, at a certain point,
the
in
world
this film,
almost ended.
Wonder Woman speaks to every person on the planet.
Yeah.
So what happens between 1984 and the events of the rest of the DC
timeline?
Oh,
you know what happens?
People just fucking forget about Wonder Woman.
So Men in Black comes out in 1995.
Oh,
so
they all got eraser mind.
They all got eraser mind.
Good point.
That's
Good
called putting
point.
The pieces together. I got no tipped cap to anybody. This is a capless tipped movie brought to you by Stanzo Brand Fedoras.
They're Stanzos.
They're nice.
Mac, the Awkwator, and I think you have it just above.
It's not sinking. It might not be floating. It might have the very exact density of water. It is not good. It's not good. It's not the worst DC movie we've ever seen, though. I think people that are saying that haven't seen Suicide Squad. So there are some things in this movie that I like. And there were some things in Suicide Squad that I liked, but that aged really poorly. I don't think this is going to age poorly because at this point in DC, everything sucks anyways.
I think everyone's just going to forget about this.
Just as we have Aquaman. We all forgot about Aquaman. No one gives a shit about that movie.
Dan Silver says, someone wished away BVS.
That would have been nice. So,
please. And then also, Ali Garashi, this is the Mac and Goo doctor, by the way. He said that not one person wished for the chaos to end. Besides the sun. The sun kind of did.
And the whole thing, at least what they made it seem like, is Maxwell has to grant the wish, right? Mm-hmm. So then he has to somehow, like now he has psychic powers. He can hear every wish, I guess. But then he has to grant every wish. So it really doesn't make any sense at all. Mm-hmm. And to that point, though, like the time travel we've seen in the superhero movies that we have really loved doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And we kind of talked about this. Like, I don't care so much about the wishes not making sense because whatever, that's whatever. It's the stuff that happens around there that I'm upset with about.
Yeah.
Because that shit was so poorly done.
By the way, I have this borderline well below the equator.
Okay.
Halloween, Mac, do you think this movie will wean over time or do you think you might gain more appreciation for it over time? And I would say no to either. I have it very low and I'm never going to watch it again. I'm never going to watch any of the scenes again. So I'll just always hate this.
Again, I don't know how you could have hate for it.
It wasted my time. That's what I hate about it.
But I said this about Aquaman and I was right then and no one wanted to admit it. It's the same thing as fucking Aquaman. It's the same fucking thing.
No.
Same thing as BVS. I just don't... I don't know. Like, I do think in a year when we watch New Justice League, we're going to look back and say, oh, all right, well, this movie looks a little better because this movie sucked ass.
Hot dog! That's a theme song from Wonder Woman. I think I nailed it. And they only used it, like, once in the movie. That's what people came for. They came for the guitar riffs, and they only got it once. Mac, for those of you tardy to the Mac and Goo party, we rate everything on a 40 hot dog rating system. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I'll go first. To me, this reeked of Aquaman. It reeked of BVS. And it reeked of The Last Jedi in that Aquaman had one good thing. Its central character.
Mm-hmm.
This has one good thing. Its central character. BVS had some rewatchable scenes.
Yeah.
There was some cool stuff in there. And I do think there's some cool stuff in here. So that's why it reminds me of that. However, some of the decisions they make basically ruin the whole movie, which is what happens here. The Last Jedi did so many things that changed canon in Star Wars that it made me downright upset. Still upset to this day. I don't care so much about the DC Universe, which is why I'm not that upset about what this changes for the DC Universe, but it did exactly that. It changes things, and it makes other movies look worse around it.
So what's your hot dog score?
24 hot dogs. It's Aquaman.
Oof. Ooh, that's too high. Mac, much like you, I mean,
I expected a dumb movie.
But
I got a dumb
movie. The thing
is
that I don't really care about the timeline. I'm looking at this as an individual movie, and it's a disjointed mess. And honestly,
Aquaman,
like I said earlier, you could have cut it into a 42-minute CW show.
Aquaman.
No character or actor is particularly good in this movie. There's no chemistry
Aquaman.
Between any of the characters. And I'm fine with the wish thing. I just don't know why you can resend them and then... There's no consequences to any of this. No one ever speaks of the 84 atrocities ever again.
Doesn't make any sense.
No. Is there a bad guy in this? Deception?
Greed.
Greed's
the bad guy here.
Swindle. He rides a moped with a back that says scamming, and that's it. I wasn't a huge fan of Wig or Normal, and, you know, maybe if you did more with that storyline to just focus on the cheetah, that might have been better, but... Maybe not. I don't know. I just thought that so much of this movie was so stupid and boring and it's not rewatchable. There's no scenes that are rewatchable.
Aquaman.
This is
Aquaman,
the first
Aquaman.
Time in a long time where I said I wasted my time watching a movie. What did I gain out of
Aquaman.
This? Nothing. No one ever refers back to the world almost ended in 1984 and then Wonder Woman went on the TV and told us everything's okay.
Right. Doesn't make any sense.
But that's
no
what
sense.
Happens when you tell stories in different times. Like, this is, you just need to pay attention to little things. And if it's not connected to any of the other movies, tell us beforehand. Just say, this has no connection to any other movie.
Right.
Mac, I have this at 16 hot dogs.
Sure.
40%.
I hope you have Aquaman down there as well.
No, nope,
everything
60%.
You just said is 100% true about Aquaman as well.
I enjoyed Aquaman.
Well, there are people that are going to enjoy this, but they're the same fucking idea. It's the same idea. It really is. And to pretend otherwise is dumb. I think in Aquaman,
otherwise.
There was a smaller story that they pursued. It would have been a better movie. It's the same thing here. If they just pursued the
Aquaman.
Cheetah storyline and left the fucking goddamn wishing rock out of it, things would have made a lot more sense, and you would have had a smaller... We always talk about this. You don't need world-ending events in every superhero movie, because when you do that, the other superheroes should show up. So if they kept this to a more smaller Cheetah-level story, you could have gone a Spider-Man story with it, right? Where a friendly neighborhood Wonder Woman, in essence, where we don't need other people to show up. You could have just had a Wonder Woman story. But when you make it world-ending and you make it on this grand scale, it collapses in on itself because it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Call me Ocean Master. Mac, where do you have this ranked with the other DCEU wonderful world of DC movies?
So we now have 9 DC movies, and I think there are 3 pretty good ones.
I think there's one
great one, one borderline great, and one pretty good. So that's my top tier right there. That's Shazam, the first Wonder Woman movie, and Man of Steel. I really like Man of Steel. I realize I'm higher on Man of Steel than a lot of other people, but there's not a lot wrong with that movie.
Not a lot great either.
Well, I like Superman, so there you go.
Well,
there's a middle tier of movies that have rewatchable things in there, but also aren't very good. And to me, that's Birds of Prey, BVS, which is borderline bottom tier. And I also think Justice League has some good stuff in there, but Justice League is definitely a lot worse after this movie. And then the bottom tier to me is Suicide Squad, which is very far down. Suicide Squad is for sure the worst one.
Yeah.
And then you have Aquaman in this movie kind of right in the same boat.
Yeah, I really think this movie is so close to what Suicide Squad is, where it's telling too many different stories and it can't focus and the action looks stupid. So I have it where Shazam, Wonder Woman, Birds of Prey, Man of Steel, Justice League, Aquaman, Batman vs. Superman, Wonder Woman 84, and then Suicide Squad.
But don't you think, and this should hurt Aquaman more than anything, don't you think Aquaman's to blame for this and for Birds of Prey? Because now we get these one-off movies that don't really attach to anything else,
I'm
and they make other things worse, because Aquaman was a quote-unquote success, and so now DC's like, oh, we can do these offshoots. Well, no, you really can't.
I'm looking at a movie poster for Aquaman right now, and there's at least 17 killer whales in the poster, so I'm going to say no. I'm going to say they nailed it.
Yeah, this is the Aquaman sister movie. This is Aquawoman.
Mac, where do you have this ranked in the 2020 movies?
Oh, that is a great question. I didn't even think. You talk, and I'll pull up my movie.
Okay,
rating.
So where I have it is I have it 3rd from the bottom. I have it above Coffee and Kareem and above Spencer Confidential. Everything else is begrudgingly better.
Wow, that's not great.
I hated Sonic. Sonic at least had a little bit of fun to it, maybe. They at least knew to rip off the Quicksilver stuff from X-Men, so that was a scene. Freaky, which, you know, wasn't great, but they were going for that stupid look. And The Wrong Missy is just fun. Just go watch The Wrong Missy. David Spade at his best.
So you go out of your way to watch bad movies, which I don't really understand. Yeah. I don't. And I still haven't seen a ton of movies on the year because of the year it is. But I think the only movie I have ranked lower than this is Sonic.
Sonic stunk. Sonic was terrible. I'm still
curious
who that's
for. Sonic was for 8-year-olds. This movie has an issue with audience as well, but at least Gail Godot's in it, so that's for me.
Righto. So, once again, I have this at 16. Mac has this at 24. Mac, you want to do some timelining?
Let's do
it. Okay, so first things first, 11 minutes of the Themyscira Olympics, ?
Yeah, and I get why it's there. You want to show young Diana and how she came to be, but we actually got a good amount of that in the first Wonder Woman. So
we
you
did.
Don't really need it.
Most of the first act of the first movie is set on Themyscira.
Right.
So why the need to go back besides to show the golden chicken suit on the statue?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why, and I don't know why it needed to be 11 minutes long. And it doesn't set the ground for really anything else that happens in the film. So it was almost like they had this 11 minutes of footage that they wanted to put in the first one, but they didn't have time, so they put it here to make this way longer.
They could have made it a web exclusive if they wanted to. That would have made sense.
Sure.
For those of you who are craving stuff, hey, we couldn't fit this into the movie because it's already over 2 hours and 15 minutes. But no, put it at the beginning.
But to me, like, when that was going on, the first 11 minutes, I was like, this is dumb. This is stupid. Kind of what I expected. So, like, I started down here. I started almost Aquaman level, and it stayed there the whole time for me. So I guess I could see why people were upset if they started at Wonder Woman 1 level. But again, lower your expectations, I guess.
We get the mall heist, which looks like it was shot in 1984, effects-wise.
Yeah, it looked very 1984-esque. I liked her kind of skywalking around the mall with the lasso. I thought we were going to get a lot more of that scene. And that wouldn't have been a great movie, but it would have been a lot better than this.
It would have at least, if you did that the entire movie, it would have at least had a look to it. It would have had a feel to it.
Yeah. And it would have
been instead it didn't.
It would have been campy, and there's a lot of these comic book fans that love that shit. It would have played to that audience.
And, of course, we do get the Pedro Pascal scenes of him on the TV. I can make you rich if you buy my oil.
Black gold. Oh.
Yeah. Creative. It's a Ponzi scheme, though.
Right. Triangle.
That's an upside-down triangle. Forward triangle. So then we meet Kristen Wiig, and this really brought me back to Batman Forever, and I thought that she was playing like an Edward Enigma type of character.
It's not new, but it does work.
It doesn't even work that well, and it's not new.
It does work.
It's one of the worst tropes in movies.
It's an old thing that we've seen time and time again, but again, it would have worked. It would have worked, and it would have been cohesive if they stuck to that, but they didn't. You get the barber stuff in that, like, you know, first 45 minutes, and then it goes away for a long time, and then it pops back up at the beginning of the third act. And you're like, again, that reminded me very much of the Black Manta stuff in Aquaman, where, like, why is he
Well, that was a huge waste.
Why are we even here, right? Either go for this or don't.
We find a wishing stone.
Which is, they never even, like, actually explain it, because Diana mentions it's from a god. She doesn't say who the god is. You know, she drops the fucking thing, and you're like, all right, I guess we're just going to buy into this. And for me, that works, because again, if I have gripes with this, then I should have gripes with the time travel in other movies, and I don't. Mm-hmm. So whatever, the wishing is stupid. It doesn't make sense, a lot like the time travel, but it's fine. I'm going to accept that.
So then Barbara and Diana go and eat an early dinner, and out of nowhere, Barbara asks her, were you ever in love? What an odd question to ask someone on your first dinner.
To me, this was the first instance of the writing being an issue. We're like, all right, we're just asking that for plot reasons, because that's not a normal thing people talk about in their first ever conversation, right? You just don't, you don't even really ask that to your friends you've been close with for a long time.
I have never asked anybody that.
Yeah, it's just not, that's not a real conversation that people have. I mean, people have talked about that before, but if you're having a nice lunch with someone on a bright, beautiful day, you don't ask them if they've ever been in love. Never, it's never happened, not one time.
So then Diana stops a mugging, and then Barbara's like, oh, I wish I was more like Diana.
Which is so, so dumb. That scene was so fucking stupid. Barbara is just walking through the park, and she's already like 40 yards past the guy. I get that stuff like that happens in real life and still does, but did we need that in this movie? For sure not. For sure did not need that.
Pedro Pascal, you know, goes into the office. He's swindling people. We find out that he's a con man.
Yeah.
He's got a son, and that's going to play a huge part in the movie later.
A real parcel tongue, this one.
And people like him, except for Diana. She's like, I don't like this guy. I'm not going to your ball.
Yep.
But then Steve Trevor shows up at the ball, and you're like, wait a second. What?
To this point, we really haven't seen the wishes manifest yet. We've seen Barbara a little bit turn into Wonder Woman-like. And then the second instance is us seeing Steve Trevor, but we don't see Steve Trevor. We see, you know, some other strong jawed human being, and we're like, what the fuck is going on here? And then the camera turns, and now it's Chris Pine, and you're like, okay, that's kind of weird, but for now it makes sense because we haven't seen anything else happen.
So she's like, let's get out of here, and they go back to the apartment, and then we learn more that it is this guy, but she just sees Steve Trevor. Which then makes me ask the question, because these two did make love. Who did she make love with?
Whose cock was it?
Yes.
The age-old question. Whose cock was it?
Yeah, because, now, you know, we all know this from the first movie. Steve Trevor, he's got a world-class hog.
Yeah.
But this guy might have some dinky nuts.
His hog was so shockingly big that it left Diana breathless.
Yes.
Speechless.
But what's this guy working with? Is it the same?
Right. It's a great question. It's a great... We're going to need one of those YouTube channels to do a 10-minute deep dive into that.
Right. And also, so Steve Trevor, he's from the 1910s, correct?
Mm.
So he only knows missionary.
Sure. And he's probably got a huge bush as well. For sure not manscaping that shit.
Brought to you by manscaped.com. Promo code MACANDGOO, MACANDGU. If you want to impress someone like a Diana Prince, like a Gal Gadot, you want to go to manscaped.com, look at the Lawnmower 3.0, grab that, grab the ball deodorant, grab the ball toner, and you are going to get someone just like her.
Right.
Promo code MACANDGOO.
Do it.
Do it. Then Pascal, he has the wishing stone, and he's like, I want to be a genie. So he's never seen Aladdin. He doesn't know that Jafar, he also wanted to be a genie, but, you know, that was his downfall.
Well, right. And so now when Maxwell Lord's wish comes true, first of all, we never even know what he wishes. So does he wish to become the Rock? Does he wish to have the powers of the Rock? But the Rock disintegrates.
You mean Dwayne the Rock Johnson?
Maxwell Lord takes on the powers of that Rock. So his wish was 100% exactly what it was. Which now brings into question, why does Diana's wish of wishing to bring Steve Trevor back just put him in another guy's body? Because now it makes no fucking sense. Barbara's wish is becoming 100% true. She wants to be more like Gal Gadot. Well, she doesn't jump into Gal Gadot's body. She just becomes more like Wonder Woman.
No,
why
Gal Gadot's
the fuck
wish,
does
her
Steve
wish
Trevor
no,
get stuck in some other dude's body? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Wonder Woman's wish, she was looking right at the guy and she said, I wish that guy had Steve Trevor's face.
And Hog.
And specifically the face and the Hog. That's it. The rest of him can stay as is. It's fine.
Right.
Then Kristen Wiig lifts weights.
Yeah, this was...
And all again, the bodybuilders are like...
This would have fit in with the 1980s camp from that opening mall scene. And so if they stuck along that beat... Would have been fine with that. Wouldn't have loved it. Would have been fine with that. But they keep spotting these things in there all while Maxwell Lord is fucking going full Nick Cage.
If this scene was in the Lonely Island's Bash Brothers long music video, I would have said, yeah, that makes sense. That's right. Where it's from. But if you're like, no, this is from a huge blockbuster movie. Really? Okay. Brutal. So then we get a montage of Steve Trevor trying on clothes and saying wow to stuff.
And this was one of the teasers we got a while ago with Steve Trevor. And I was like, that's what this movie's going to be, a lot of that. And actually, it wasn't. It was worse than that. But I expected, again, I expected this kind of fucking nonsense tomfoolery 1984 movie. And they didn't even do that well. They didn't even do that well.
No, and Diana now knows where the stone is, so they go to try and find the stone. And they grab that plane. I don't know how they even got in there to grab the plane. It's because she works at a museum. She can just go anywhere.
Yeah, I think she's got security clearances to certain places. So they were at like a Smithsonian backlot. So they hop in this fucking plane. And again, Steve Trevor is flying planes in 1912 with like open cabins.
The Wright brothers just made planes.
The plane barely flies in 1912.
It gets 7 feet off the ground.
He can get a fucking... top technology jet and somehow start it and fly it.
Hey,
no,
boy, oh, I bet
I
could take this plane 90 yards.
What I did like here, though, is them explaining, because it tied a little bit of things in. Like, it never really makes sense why Wonder Woman has an invisible plane. It just doesn't. Never made sense to me. I thought it was kind of dumb. The way they do it here, I actually like, because Zeus uses, you know, some sort of cloaking technology ability spell to cloak Themyscira. So Diana uses that same idea to cloak the plane. That I really liked. That one thing.
I would have liked it if she had said, check this out. And then she just did it without explaining
it. I also
it.
Laughed when she said, I did this once before on a coffee
with
cup.
With a cup.
And now I can't find the cup. Because then I envisioned her like 6 months later after the events of this film, tripping over the coffee cup and stubbing her toe.
And once again, I still think that radar would pick up on the plane. But maybe I'm an idiot.
It probably still should,
Yeah. So then Steve's like, hey, all you have to do to know how to fly is catch air, you know? Play with
the
wind.
Ride the waves, man.
Ride the wind, bro. And then they fly through fireworks because Steve is like, wow.
And also, just because the plane's invisible doesn't mean flying through fireworks is a good idea. That seems like a terrible idea.
For someone who's never seen fireworks, he's like, I'm going to fly into those. That seems safe.
Real deer in the headlights. He just fucking turned and went at the fireworks.
So then Pascal, he starts going wish crazy. He's like, I need more wishes.
I really didn't like his performance as Maxwell Lord.
No.
It was just way too over the top.
It's so over the top. It chews the scenery. It's super cheesy. And others have compared it to Ewan McGregor in Birds of Prey. I think Ewan McGregor.
It was a lot like that. Yeah.
I thought Ewan McGregor was way more fun, and
he leaned into it way more. Birds of Prey. So that's actually not.
You want to know why, Matt? Because you're so fucking stupid.
Yeah, I'm the dumb one here.
That's a quote from Birds of Prey. That's my favorite quote from Birds of Prey. Ever.
Yeah, it was a lot like that. It's out of place, doesn't fit in the movie, which was a lot like that, and it was a lot like Ocean Master. There's just these things that DC can't get right, and it's mostly the villains.
So now, what you don't get is that Aquaman was like Shakespeare under the sea. So Ocean Master played perfectly.
And this is not fair to Pascal, because we just saw him in The Mandalorian, and I think he did a great job in the second season of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing that in comparison to this, you know, and this just looks way worse. It just looks terrible.
So then we get the chase scene next. Which,
yeah, in Cairo, which was pretty good.
It's not bad. It's really bright. You can see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not great.
It's probably this in the mall scene are the two standout scenes from the movie. I guess you could argue the cheetah fight at the end, but the cheetah fight at the end doesn't really make a ton of sense what happens in there. I did like, and again, another thing we've seen 1,000 times before, is our hero loses their powers or their powers are diminished, which we get here in the Egypt scene. But we hadn't seen that yet with Wonder Woman, so it was new for Wonder Woman. So I liked this scene, I did.
Yeah, and she doesn't have her full powers because she made a wish.
Well, because Barbara made a wish, which, again...
No, but
like, I don't understand.
It doesn't matter because so she gets her powers back when she rescinds the wish anyways.
I guess that's true. Right. So I, again, the wishing stuff, you know, it doesn't really make sense. And the more you break it down, the even further it doesn't make sense.
So let me get that really stupid scene with the president. Yeah, why not just make it Ronald Reagan?
I don't know. I didn't. That guy, the way that gentleman looks is jarring. It removed me from the scene. I was like,
he is in no way handsome enough to be the president.
No, no chance.
He has no,
no
charisma to be the president.
Done.
So then Pascal's like, oh, I get access to this TV station that can go all across the world? Cool. And then the president's like, I want enough nukes to nuke the whales.
Let's nuke stuff. Because, you know, I think what we gave the first movie a little bit of credit for is they didn't go World War II on us, right? They went World War I. It's a lesser explored things in movies. Mm-hmm. This movie goes full Cold War on us and goes nuclear holocaust. Why are we doing that? That we've seen that a bazillion times. We don't need that.
Everyone's wishes are just running amok now.
Yeah.
It's going crazy.
And again, I just don't know how he could grant so many wishes.
Also, in the White House, we get that terrible fight scene. That was so stupid. Steve Trevor's just cold cocking everybody.
Yeah. He was a soldier. Dude could fight.
Just cold cocking everyone out, though?
1912 punches hit different in 1984.
Barbara's like, I'm here too, you know, out of nowhere. How did I get in here? Who knows?
She nightcrawlered it.
So then we find out that you can rescind your wishes, and Steve's like, do it.
I thought the way better way to go about this was you kill Maxwell Lord, and that gets rid of all the wishes. Instead of everyone going, you know what? Don't think I need this. Don't think I want it.
I don't want this anymore.
By doing that, naturally, not everyone is going to rescind their wish. Mm-hmm. So that, again, undermines the big climactic turn in this movie.
The idiot who has the Porsche.
Because there are people that won't rescind their wishes.
The idiot who has the Porsche, the lady who wishes for $1 million,
yeah,
they're going to keep that.
Sure. Yeah, if I get to keep my Porsche just because like my third cousin dies, sure, why not? I'll take the Porsche.
And then she does indeed rescind her wish and then learns how to fly.
Yeah, and this scene was super, super corny.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is undermine Justice League, BVS, because if she can fly, it completely changes those movies. Completely changes them. And now she can't fly in the same way Superman does. She's going to kind of propel herself with the lasso, which is fine, you know, on the clouds and the lightning and shit. But I just hated that his line of dialogue about flying was what played into her learning how to fly. Like, it's just dumb.
It didn't give you the feels because she had to let him go?
Ultimately, that's what this movie was to me. It was 151 minutes of Diana learning she doesn't need Steve Trevor. That's it. And to your point, that could have been a 42-minute cartoon episode.
And then Kristen Wiig's like, I don't want to be like Diana. I want to be an apex predator. I want to be turned into a freak.
And why does she get a second wish?
Pedro Pascal says, I'm feeling generous. Do you want another wish?
Yeah, but he can't just change the rules of The Rock because
he's the genie.
Rock,
he can do whatever he wants.
I don't know if he could have done that. I think he overstepped his bounds as Rockmaster.
Then we get the golden chicken suit. And we get the fight in the dark, which didn't look great. And then she electrocutes her under the water.
They're swinging on live electrical
wires. Yes.
Yeah, those things are insulated, but only to a point. You're going to feel that. And then, for some reason, when they're in the water, now Barbara gets electrocuted. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, and Diana's absolutely fine under there, too. And she's almost like, she's like an Aquaman person at that point.
Well, I'm fine with her being fine underneath. That doesn't bother me. But
no,
Barbara,
but she's just floating there. She isn't even, like, swimming. She's just standing in the water.
Couple kicks. She can tread water.
Couple kicks.
Sure, she'll be fine. But Barbara not being fine underneath there didn't make any sense. None.
And then we get to when she finally gets into that TV station, and Pedro Pascal is in his, you know, weird glowing orb thing, and she can't lasso him at all. Like, she can't get her lasso in there.
Because there's a vortex?
But then, sneaky, hear me out, she gets that lasso in there.
Yeah, she really snakes him.
Yeah.
And they don't show us that because it doesn't make sense how she does it, because apparently there's a vortex around him. Unless there is a little Babu Frick grabbing that lasso and running up and putting it around his leg.
I wish.
I don't know how it would have happened. And then she gives this monologue, which you think she's talking to Pedro Pascal, but actually she's talking to every person on the planet. Mm. And so again, if she's talking to every person on the planet in 1984, every person on the planet is aware she exists. So how do you explain that away in any of these other DC movies? Why does she not pop up in anything else?
And Pedro Pascal, he learns the wrong of his ways because he's like, I have a son. What am I doing?
Yeah, oh, that little kid sucked. Alistair! Alistair! And they did that stupid bullshit scene running through the field together.
I would have loved it if instead of Alistair, it was Baby Yoda. Because that's his real son.
Grogu!
So then finally, Diana, she meets the dude that she's already had sex with. Mm. But now he has a regular face.
So why would she... How
but she's like,
oh,
I like your duds, bro. I like your
duds. But you know what this scene did, at least in goo terms, made it a Christmas movie. There was snow falling.
There was snow. There were trees.
So it is now a Christmas classic.
It's now a holiday classic. Anyone can enjoy it, but only in the months of November and December.
Yeah, this scene really bothered me because you know they only shot it in the last like 6-8 months. They only shot it once this got bumped to Christmas.
But why did she have to meet the specific guy that she had already did?
She didn't. And if they were going to do that, pursue something with old horse cock there. Why not?
Well, do you think that when he transformed back into himself, he kept Steve Trevor's hog?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Oh, for his sake.
Maybe when she rescinded the wish, he's like, you can change his face back. And then we get this mid-credit scene.
Yeah.
Which, oh my lord.
So,
holy lord.
At one point in this movie, we learn of the Golden Goose armor there, and Wonder Woman tells the story of how Golden Goose Lady, you know, sacrificed herself, and turns out Golden Goose Lady survived. And who was Golden Goose Lady? Linda Carter.
Linda Carter.
The
original
Wonder
Woman. And she winks at the camera.
Woman.
She winks at the camera. So much winking at the camera. It's so good.
Now, this makes sense in terms of her surviving the attack. Like, oh, okay, yeah, that was this woman. But how did this woman survive that attack all that many years ago, and now she's just decided to not use any of her powers ever? So she hasn't helped out? She can't help out Wonder Woman? What the fuck is that? Stupid. Dumb fan service. That's an instance of fan service not working well.
I agree. I hated it. And I was like, I just watched this entire movie, and here we are. You're going to give us this.
Yeah.
This is what you're giving us right now.
Horseshit.
I was expecting, why do I keep on expecting things? But I was expecting maybe a fun post-credit scene. Maybe a little bit more action as opposed to that stupid joke.
I was hoping a tie-in to other things, which again, we didn't get, which is why this feels so Aquaman-like. But ultimately, I came away feeling from this movie, I didn't hate it because I didn't expect to like it. I didn't like... Most of what they did, I do love her as Wonder Woman. I think the smaller story of her v. Cheetah would have worked if they pursued just that. The Maxwell Lord stuff ruined this whole movie. I liked her gliding around with the lasso. I liked a lot of the Wonder Woman shit we saw. There just was barely any of it. It's confusing as to how this movie was made this way. And
this
I feel that way about most DC movies.
This is a nothing movie to me. You get nothing out of it. You get no joy out of it, no satisfactory out of it. It is just... 2.5 hours of, is this done yet?
Yeah, basically. Yes. And again, I've probably felt that about at least half of the DC movies now, which is horrible. That's really bad. Because even the bad Marvel movies, they sort of tricked you. And Suicide Squad did a good job at tricking us, actually. So we didn't hate that initially. And then, not so great. But if you can at least fool me, at least I'm not mad leaving the theater. I would have thought the home viewing would have helped this movie because we didn't pay to see it, but it did not at all.
Let's get into MacSack.
And MacSack could be anything. This week it's brought to you by Manscaped.com. Promo code MacAndGoo, MacAndGu on Manscaped.com. All those great holiday prices and 20% off if you use that promo code. So get cleaned up for the new year.
Boom.
And speaking of the new year, Mac, this is the final Mac and Goo of 2020.
Whoa.
And I would just like to say, you know, hey, listening schedules a bit different this year. Weird. And I know that we haven't had a lot of new movies to talk about. But
not our fault.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone who has listened to all the episodes this year and stuck with us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think 2020 is the year we all learn to be a little more distanced virtually. Mm-hmm. You know, I got grandparents learning how to Zoom. I now have a green screen in my bedroom. So things have sort of worked out for some people. Mm-hmm. I think
things have worked out for me. Check out the green screen.
I think, you know, we went from doing every single episode in the Goodio, right where you're sitting right now.
Yeah.
And that changed on a dime in March, April. And so we've been doing it this way for 7-8 months now. And, you know, we were afraid it was going to really affect what we do. And it does a little bit, but it's more so, you know, I like doing this. I like reviewing the new properties, Wonder Woman, you know, Mandalorian season 2. So if we can get back into that, I think we'll be fine. But we are really running out of things to make top tens of.
You didn't like the top 10 summer camp movies? So, Mac, speaking of episodes from this year, if you're tardy to the Mac and Goo party and you're looking for some recommendations from 2020, here are the dirty dozen episodes of Mac and Goo from 2020 that I would say are either the best or...
A 12-pack.
I was going to do a 6-pack, and then I'm like, nah, dirty dozen, naughty rotten rhymers, cursing at your players worse than Marty Schottenheimer. I will go in no particular order, but when I say that, I mean this is the order in which they came out. The Cinemac and Goovy Awards, that was the first episode of the year. Check that one out. Mandalorian Season 1, I think, is a better review of Mandalorian than the second one, but what are you going to do? Top 10.
You think our Season 1 episode was better?
I thought it was funnier.
Okay, fair.
Then we get the top 10 TV theme songs. I would say go with this one over the bracket style, because That's My Bush is on there. Then we go to the MCU Best in Series Redux. Great. 2020. The 2020 movie auction draft is good because we don't know what's going to happen next.
Well,
and then
I think that's,
that gets thrown out the window.
You know, that's the most significant episode for us as a podcast, because we were looking forward to all the movies coming out this year. But that was right at the beginning of everything. And we didn't know what the fuck was going to happen. We speak about it a little bit in that episode, how shit's probably going to change. Maybe some of these movies won't come out. But it's fucking weird. It's weird to listen to that episode in contrast to what's happened in the last 8 months.
Now, this next property is completely dead, but Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem, and Mystery, when that first came out, that was like the first two weeks of
fucking lockdown.
Yes. Here is the only 6-pack that I would ever recommend. Me and Keith talked about Murder Hornets for 20 minutes. Good stuff.
I wouldn't recommend a 6-pack to anyone.
Back to the Future and Die Hard are two of our better movie reviews of the stuff that we had to go back to. Max Sack Mount Rushmores. This is just an episode of us giving Mount Rushmores of random things. The top 10 game shows. Now, I would not recommend the actual top 10 in there, but the open and the close, that's where the money is. It's the first Damio That Cameo, and then we look at Italian people memes for 15 minutes. It's a very visual podcast, but check it out.
Great video.
And then, of course, the history of celebrity feuds.
There you go. There you go.
Once again, Team Bette Davis.
I think, you know, this is one of those years we survived. Survive in advance, baby. We're on to 2021. It really can only get better unless one of us dies. If one of us dies, 2021 will be worse. Otherwise, it's going to be a better year for Mac and Goo.
Yes, one would assume. All right, guys, if you made it to this point on the podcast, please send us your favorite GIF from this movie, if you can find one. Mac, where can you find us?
You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at MacAndGooPodcast.
Poo-cast.
On every other platform, we are Mac ampersand Goo. That's Mac Shift 7 Goo. It includes Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, Spreaker, Google Play, iHeartRadio. I've actually been listening on Spotify quite a bit.
Oh, nice.
But the most important platform is iTunes. Get onto iTunes, subscribe to us, rate us, review us 5 stars. If you do that, did you get a new shipment of t-shirts, by the way?
I didn't get a new shipment, but I did find the old box of t-shirts, and there's a lot of XLs in there.
So. All right, so if you have an XL size, maybe you'll get a t-shirt sometime in the next couple months here.
Yeah.
By leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes, and that's going to help us greatly.
TeePublic.com. Merch. So much good merch there. You know, hey, maybe you didn't get it in time for Christmas, but Valentine's Day is right around the corner. I'm sure that your loved one would love some Mac and Goo merch. So that'll do
it for
this episode.
You know what
you can
do? Yeah. A special edition Valentine's Clown Mac shirt where my nose is a heart.
Oh, that is good. So next week we're going to talk about Soul. Have you seen it yet?
No. I wanted to dump the Wonder Woman out before I jumped into Soul. I wanted to be in a good spot.
Give you a heads up. It's better.
I would assume it is. I drafted it. Of course it's better.
Yeah, of course it's better. All right. Well, Tuesdays are Goose Days. I abuse kangaroos.
Bye.
Please flip the cassette over to side B to continue the adventure.